Oh, I got some of that woo. Hello. And welcome to the Cubicorn Games Podcast.
Woo.
My name is Dustin Morbido. I'm going to try to bring the thunder because it's late at night, but I'm just feeling my second wind. Like, I was on the couch about to nap, but now I'm ready. I'm in for it.
Brian was being an asshole and trying to end Final Fantasy XV.
Mm-hmm. Lorraine Morbido is here talking about the end of Final Fantasy XV.
What even?
Kyle McGrath is here via the internet.
I'm going to talk about the end of Final Fantasy XV.
It's true in graphic.
What happened?
Somewhat suggestive detail. Yeah.
Because, well, so Brian was streaming out of his PS4 using the Sony stuff. Uh-huh. So once, like, that final confrontation ended, it cuts out because it's a blocked scene. So we couldn't see, like, couldn't see the credits or anything.
It's nothing either. It's just they play a song during the credits.
Stand By Me or whatever.
Sure. I mean, it must be the flag. Like, there must have just been a flag that they had on for every single cutscene type thing. So as soon as those credits play, like, I can't imagine they actually wanted to block that.
Right.
Or maybe it's the song.
It's probably the song.
I thought it played it at the start of the game, though, and it didn't.
Oh, and it doesn't block it out.
I honestly couldn't tell you.
That's a good question.
It was really weird, though.
That's crazy.
it gives you this pop-up. It's like, you know, in this spoiler mode, we're blocking streaming. It's like, oh, something seriously bad's going to happen here. And then it plays the song. Yeah. And that's it.
You guys got the real shit now, huh? Oh. Get to see Noctis's old scrotum that's weirdly not the same as his original body. I cannot get over the last hour or so of that game, or however long it was, where he was old Noctis. His head was so different. Like,
it was really
it
different.
Was basically Frankenstein on his original body. Like, it was just some intern had 20 minutes to put those two polygonal models together, and they did what they could. It was really unsettling.
It was very jarring.
The other ones had different, not entire faces, but definitely looked different.
Yeah, they looked a little different. It was mainly like their hair, but Prompto had a weird little like goatee going on.
Yeah, it's fuzzy little attempt at a goatee.
Upgraded sunglasses.
Sure. Ignis was hella blind.
Spoilers.
Whoops.
Damn.
Also, that is not a 10-year beard on Noctis. Like, seriously?
I mean, depending on who you are.
Right.
Like, some people just, like, that's about all the beard they can muster. Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
That's what Phil would look like after 10 years, I'm guessing.
I would love to see if... I'm not sure if his working situation would permit, but I'd love to have a beard off with Phil so we can compare. Because I've still never gone full in on beard, but I'm assuming it would get pretty serious.
I was gonna say, you're Italian. I think should be able to really pull that off.
That's right. I grow all the hair on accident. I should just be giving it away. But anyway, let's go back. Let's keep talking about 15 because I'm still interested in
here.
Talking about the game. But let's start at maybe not the beginning, but earlier than the end. So, Kyle, when did you actually finish Final Fantasy 15?
A few weeks ago.
Sure. So, like, in the new year, at least. Like, you didn't finish it in 2016.
I played it all over the course of, like, January.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right on.
And I'm a monster. I had to beat it, but I had to 100% it.
I saw it.
Oh, man.
That's
pretty serious.
But, although, to be fair, I had noticed you had a second platinum trophy one day, and I just was, like, looking through it. Like, the platinum is only a very rare. Like, it's not even, like, a 0.0% or whatever, like some of the other ones are. So
it wasn't... None of it was really brutal.
Mm.
But...
Like, none of it in terms of... It was, like, difficulty hard. It was just, like, time investment. Like, well,
One of the things I'll say about this game is it's piss easy. Like, they go way out of your way to keep you from dying.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you saw it, but with... the combat system, when you get to 0 HP, you go into,
like,
a
danger mode
or whatever. Mm. And then,
so 0 is more like 20% maybe or something. Like, it's not actually...
Yeah, you've got time for sure. Like, and
that entire time, you can use a potion or wait for a friend to heal you or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the same with your teammates too.
Except unless they get, like, super dead.
Even if you get hit out of that into full KO, then you can still use a Phoenix down and basically go back to full health. You basically can't lose in this game.
Yeah.
Except
wiped once. I honestly can't tell you any time that he actually really wiped.
You can end up in battles where you just don't have the raw items to power through it. But after the post game, I don't know if Brian's done any of the post game stuff yet. Or, I mean, if he just finished.
He literally finished it like 10 minutes ago.
Okay. I gotta get the Twitch address from right. Him. Wouldn't mm-hmm. mind pick some of that up. Anyway,
Fancy Flash, you up yes. with like two A's. We'll repeat that later.
10, but... 8 or 10 like post dungeons. They're all pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. You just go through a series of Zelda style trials caves.
Okay.
But one of them, and not even the last one, you can't use items. And that was the, I'll say, one of two challenges in the entire game. Which is really weird, because it doesn't prepare you at all for it. It's just like, well, no more items. And, you know, the strategies to get through it are some like, min-max sure. easy.
Scummy
yeah.
shit.
Abilities type stuff, yeah. Had to go out and grind a couple abilities out. And that was kind of interesting. Like, I wish the game had done more things like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really didn't mix it up that much. Like, oh. It was mainly, like, the entire game was very samey. Then you get to chapter 13.
Even before 13. Basically,
well, I mean, like the whole, that, like, you're second... alone and you don't have your items or powers yeah. thing is okay. oh, kind right, of really right. the only thing.
Where it changes up.
Yeah, that it really, like, flipped the script
the
on you.
The loop is a little different than it yeah. used to be. Yeah.
Stealth or whatever. That was awful to watch.
Which I think Brian played the better version of, because I'm pretty sure he had played that.
Oh, he just went and killed
patch.
Things.
Well, they had made yeah. it, that, I would say that section was even more brutal at some point, and then
yeah,
they made it less
I
brutal.
I also played it, what I assume was post-patch, because I don't know of whatever was supposed to be there when
the
it launched.
I was trying, I had been, when he was playing it, I was trying to find patch notes anywhere and couldn't really find
yeah,
anything.
I think the area might have even just been physically larger, and
that,
then they made the
I
path
think,
was fucked up.
And I think they buffed the powers you had, because you were like yeah. unlocking stuff from like the ring or
right,
whatever.
Right, the three ring powers, which are mostly
garbage.
Terrible. They're kind of neat. The death spell is fun to do.
Yeah. That was he just kept doing that over and over and over again, because there was like a million dudes coming at him at once.
Right.
Yeah, but that game was something else.
Mm-hmm. I was mean, still.
It's something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still enjoyed watching it overall. Mm-hmm. Like I'm
glad I didn't have to play it.
Yeah, specifically for some of the weird technical stuff, like that game has. It's not constantly, but when it has bad camera. Like, that game
yeah.
has some of the worst camera
yeah.
I've seen in a modern game.
Absolutely.
Like, as soon as when it turns to shit, it turns to shit
well,
in, like, an
it
intense...
Even in,
and...
I don't know if you were paying too much attention in, like, the Ifrit or the final encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that camera just couldn't give a fuck where you were fighting.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just like, oh, look at here. Let's look at this terrible, like, Armageddon sky
sure.
for a second.
I mean, and even leading up to that, like, in the last endgame stretch or whatever, where he was fighting some trash mobs in, like, random hallways,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, ooh, Jesus, ooh. I can see, like, 20%
right.
of what
especially
I think I'm supposed to be looking at.
If you're fighting
right
two or three things in one of those hallways, then it just can't keep up.
Yeah, it just shits the bed real hard.
Yeah, so, like, stuff like that is, the reason, like, playing it is probably harsher than just watching someone mm-hmm. play it, but...
For me, at that point in the game, I'd gotten so used to the combat system that even watching it was kind of unnecessary.
Close your eyes and use the force.
Yeah.
And by use the force, I mean mash it out.
Warp strike, hold X. Warp strike, hold X. I did end up really liking the combat system.
It looks like, fun when it's like, when you can see what you're doing.
Right. at about like 3/4 of the way through the game, it all sort of clicked. Like, you could... make things do the way you wanted them at the pace you wanted to.
Mm.
Turns out to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Watching the flow of the combat, like
yeah.
when you can see what's happening, it made me actually more optimistic
right.
for Final Fantasy VII, since that presumably will
be similar.
Somewhat similar to
yeah.
this, since it's an action game.
Sure.
When Brian was playing, did you notice him having any trouble with the button prompts? Like, it was, you know, press X to open the door, and you'd press X and you would jump instead
yeah.
of opening the door.
Yeah, that was
okay.
a constant.
I've seen many
constant
like
is the right word.
Many short little like internet two panel comics on that, like
mm-hmm.
just Noctis randomly yeah. jumping at like signs
trying to get
and,
on the chocobo and
oh yeah
instead just jumping jumping in place for
constantly
a minute or two
again and again and again. That was special.
Actually, there was just a patch for that even yesterday, I think.
Oh, geez.
Sure, they tried to smooth that stuff out. The funniest thing about that to me is that's another...
Wait, or what? What was the patch for?
It raised the level cap, added, like, some timed quest, and I think it added a patch to support higher frame rates for PS4
Pro. Oh, that's right, huh. Because it made it look way worse on PS4, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So he must not have updated, because he didn't say anything. It didn't look
super
framey.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Does he have a Pro?
No.
Okay. I think this was
Might have just been pro specific.
Oh,
because that's still a weird thing of like the regular PlayStation 4 versus the Pro have different performance just because they're.
I knew that. I just wasn't sure if the patches were system specific. I don't remember.
I didn't even read like the. I just saw the headline that like, oh, they updated the game and now it looks like poop. But like most of that weird graphical issues on PlayStation have been with the Pro specifically, so it's probably still just on Pro. Like you said, I bet it would have just updated automatically for him, and it didn't look any different to me on the stream.
Yeah, it didn't look different at all.
I thought it was interesting that they raised the level cap, because, like I just said, this game is stupid easy.
Sure, like if you'd ever, as if you'd ever need that additional power for any reason.
No point in the game where you like need those levels. Maybe in that one dungeon I was just talking about.
Oh yeah, that end thing.
You know, half an hour.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still like I'm still glad that they went for it. Like I still like that it is a very different game than what you would have expected from Square Enix before this.
Sure.
Like I think that stuff's all cool.
There are so many issues with this game where you can tell that it's just a game with a very tortured development process.
Oh yeah.
Like all over the place, weird things are coming in and coming out. Reference dropped, and it's just you can see like these ideas that were on the table for some period of time and couldn't be removed from the game or fleshed out.
Yeah, because one of the things we also did today was yesterday we had picked up Kingsglaive and we watched it.
And what'd you think?
I mean, it was fine. I don't know why they couldn't put any of that at all in the game. Right. Like,
that's exactly
what?
It.
The best feature-length film I've ever seen that has Final Fantasy.
Yes.
that is Final Fantasy titled.
All right.
Are there is there anything other than Advent Children and Spirits Within? Is there like
I don't think there's any other movies. Because there's technically
it's the best of those three. All right, say that.
Because there's the short series for this, which doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
There's a short series for Seven, which I have not ever watched all the way through because I can't find it anywhere. That also exists. That's just like. It's just like the Nibelheim incident. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah, although
Sephiroth burning down the town.
Yeah, what I will say about that movie is that it's weird in some ways that I think the game is also weird and that, like, it loses its focus a little bit midway through and then kind of, like, regains a new one. Like, it starts out as basically just, like, literally just an introduction to the world and kind of nothing else. Mm-hmm. And then you get maybe, like, 20 minutes in. And then it kind of becomes this whole other story, and then you get, like, about halfway through, and you can see that it's literally just taking place, like, it just becomes part of the game story at that point, and just kind of segues like into the middle
half
part.
Hour of the game.
Yes, it segues into, like, the middle part of that video game.
Yeah.
And, like, a really weird, like, and I don't know if it would feel that weird if you were watching it in a vacuum without having played the game yet or not, but like since we were watching it after seeing like, you know, 95% of the game, I had turned to Lorraine at a point and I was like, because when it starts, I wasn't sure where it lied. And then I turned to her and I was like, is this just like in the middle of the things that were happening, like in the video game? And she's like, yeah, totally.
I think it does roll over like the first chapter or two.
Yeah,
like,
because
they're simultaneous.
Because I know Noctis was like in the capital or whatever at the start, and then the peace treaty gets offered, and then he sends, because they're in the Regalia.
Yeah.
Like the car you're driving the entire game at one point.
Because in my head, I was like, is the movie itself going to do like a flash forward, flashback thing?
Nope.
Because when the king dies, I was like, oh, well, that's clearly the things in the video game had to happen before this. Mm-hmm. But,
well, you only see the king for like 2 seconds at the beginning. He just kind of shoves you in the car.
Waves goodbye
on
the steps.
It's so weird. They at some point they were pressing up like Noctis's relationship with his father, like it was
a
big plot point, and you know they
it's
were going to
the same complaint I have with
it.
Sarah
they
from 13.
They came back to it at the end, even, and then just you barely see this character.
Yeah,
like that's my biggest problem, I think, with the first 45 minutes of the game is that you're set out in a desert, and then you're told that all these bad things are happening. There's a war. Your city's falling apart. Your dad's destroyed. And you've never seen the war, never been to the city, and never met your father. So why do I care?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're 100% right about that. It, like, the game itself establishes no visual stakes to the conflict that you're embroiled in. The movie at least does that, where like it pretty much starts with a big ass battle saying like, hey, like shit's popping off.
Whoa.
And the game is literally, it's just like, all right, you go on a road trip and your car breaks down. So it's like a thing that would happen to you, you know, just once in a while in real life.
Right.
It's real weird.
It's very strange.
I mean, like, I know I've said this a million times with 13, but it's the same thing with Sarah, like her sister. Okay. You meet her for like half a second, she turns to Crystal, and you never see her again. She's like, okay, why are we doing this? Oh, because of Sarah. Okay, why?
Yeah.
She does show up in flashbacks occasionally, but mostly like, you're right. Like she's more of a like a plot conceit concept, than a character. If not, yeah.
She's not a human. It's real
like
weird.
Like Luna, who's basically just a plot point.
Yeah, and then she dies.
I guess we're going full spoilers here.
Man,
so.
I don't
damn.
Care.
You didn't even warn people. I mean, spoilers for Final Fantasy 15.
It was already getting thrown down.
Yeah. And the game's been out for a bit. It's probably right. Okay.
And again, it was the same thing. It's like you spend the first X hours of this game trying to go get married or whatever, and then you meet her, and then she dies like 2 minutes later.
Spoiler
alert. Well, you're
not
an important
marriage.
Character at all.
Sure.
Or she was, but you didn't see any of the importance.
Right. It
was she was
off
doing something that whole time, I'm assuming.
Prepping you for being summoning summoners or whatever.
Yep. Holding that ring.
Yeah.
Holding a ring.
I'm going to hold this forever. And then you see
and
her
and
in, like, the dream
world. I don't even understand,
world.
Like, what was the motivating factor across this game? Like, you know how other games, like a Zelda, you just collect the 6 golden coins or collect the 6 gems to summon whatever. Like, this game's got 2 of those.
Yeah, because it's the summons and
you're
then
you're collecting
the
summons and then you're collecting
the weapons
of your dead ancestors. And most of the game sets it up like the summons are important because you have to do all of that. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the end and it's not important.
Yeah,
it's the
like,
swords that
who
are
cares?
Important. Even though you don't have to do them.
Ah. Yeah.
I really like this game, though.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Like I said, and for, like, games can be... I've played or seen other people play a couple games in like, and we'll use recent like relatively loosely, but like let's say the last 4 or 5 years or so that I've enjoyed a whole lot, but in retrospect there are also things about them that are a total mess. Like Metal Gear Solid 5 was kind of like that, and that it was also plagued with weird development stuff, and at some point they just cobbled together, like they put together the game they could with the pieces they were able to complete. BioShock
right.
Infinite was a lot like that.
Yeah.
Where that game at some point, like that
I hadn't
game
thought
both,
of that, but yeah, it is.
Yeah, that game both takes a really weird, like, it just drops entire plot lines and takes a really weird narrative turn, and then gameplay wise, it sort of just stops being fun, like for about a good hour near the end of the thing.
Yeah.
Like I was so engrossed in like seeing what the twist was the first time I played that game, I didn't think much of it. But then, like looking back on it a month or two later, the airship sequence in that game must have literally been like. A desperation, like, I forget what the dude's name is, but they had a dude come in from outside of the studio to close that game out. And I have to imagine that was him in a room with, like, a 5 or 6 other high-level devs.
That's when, like, the songbird is kind of flying around.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's
and,
like,
it's you're just, like, wave
encounter.
Shooting
in a, right, in a game that doesn't that hasn't really broken character, so to speak. Like, it stayed within the universe and just keeps you in the world basically 100% of the time. The game literally stops. It, like, throws up a fucking... giant thing explaining this weird gameplay mechanic that hasn't existed before, and then it just becomes like a wave-based shooting thing like for like an hour.
I vaguely
I hated
remember
that,
that
fight.
It's the Garfish. It's by far the worst thing in that game, and it's absolutely the most like out of sorts part of it. Like it doesn't gel with any other piece of what's going on there. It's really weird, but like
it fits in great with the whole last third of that game just being a clusterfuck.
Yeah. There are things about that game that are a total mess, but overall, I still like that game a lot.
Yeah.
Like, they still do, or
I
at
really
least they did.
The first half of it.
they put effort into those games that, like, they're, it's kind of like The Last of Us a little bit. There are specific, like, world-building and production value stuff in those games that I appreciate that, like, not that many devs are capable of doing, but yeah, like, you can... If you analyze it even a little bit, you can absolutely see the seams where they, you know, bunched everything up and then, like, sewed it together as quickly as they could, because at some point you have to ship a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can even see, like, I would imagine from the outset of this game, I mean, I guess this game, it's hard to even say what the outset was, but, you know, they're going for an open world, and then they get to a point and it's like, all right, we can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
you
just,
know,
not
just switch to
it's not sustainable
corridors.
When you have to tell the stories that they like to tell.
Yeah, and even in the outset, right, like... from internally, presumably, the thought was, like, when that game started, it was a side game. Like, oh, well, this is a weird, like, we'll experiment with this, and, like, we can be a little weirder, because it's not a quote-unquote mainline Final Fantasy game. And then they shifted it from, you know, Versus 13 or whatever into Final Fantasy 15. And I have to assume, at least from what they could, the focus changed a little bit to be like, all right, guys, now the stakes are a little higher. Like,
yeah.
we have to... we have to really make this work. But yeah, man, it's just so strange. But like I said, that's not even, that's not all bad. Like, there are things about that where they're explicitly, like, terrible, like the functional stuff, like the camera and stuff like that. But
I played through this whole game and never wanted to stop. I mean, it's not like this was ever a torturous experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun, not just with the combat, but just, like, the four main characters were pretty entertaining to me. I think they kind of nailed their personalities.
They took some time to grow on me, but eventually I kind of didn't hate them completely.
All right. I bought their group dynamic.
Sure. Yeah, the group.
The way they all work together and they're friends and brothers. Mm-hmm. They kind of hate each other sometimes.
Yeah.
Like brothers.
It was all very believable.
Yeah, and I appreciate that they would even go for that. Like, even at the very end where, like, they tap that goal mechanic one more time. Uh-huh. They're like, hey, pick out a picture to go take into battle with you or whatever. I'm like, I was thinking then, they're like, I'm glad this game is trying for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it succeeds, I think, more than it fails at, like, building those relationships. But I'm glad that they're going for it at all.
Mm-hmm.
What picture did Brian take? Was it the cup noodles?
I was hoping it would be.
He was looking for it, but he ended up taking, like, a group shot of all of them.
Yeah.
Some horrible selfie that Prompto took.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of those.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that game overall. Like, I think it's
pretty cool.
I like
the camera mechanic, too, even if Prompto was kind of an ass about it.
I liked it. There were some really dumb pictures that came out of that because you would randomly take them at certain times.
Some of them were funny dumb. Some of them were just pictures of somebody's butt.
Or just weird broken physics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know he got one or two of those.
Yeah. That would be cool if that was one of the, like, what do you want me to take pictures of? Oh, when stuff clips through the environment. Like,
okay.
Take a pictures of me jumping when I meant to interact with something. Okay.
Sure, I guess.
The last thing I'll add, in terms of throwing a little bit of shade on that game, is that, and this is the thing that occurred to me while watching the movie more than the game itself, although obviously you've got the cup noodle. There's a shot in that. There's a shot like maybe a third of the way through that movie where it's just literally a shot of billboards, and there's an Audi billboard there. Uh-huh. And it pans down to an Audi car. And then there's like a 4-minute driving sequence where you see the Audi logo on the front of the vehicle like 3 or 4 times. And at that moment, I thought to myself, having seen basically the run-up in that movie where you kind of see all of its disparate parts of like, oh, it's got fantasy elements, but also it's sort of like the real world, but also it's just like stylish and shit. Mm-hmm. I was like, is the only reason this game is somewhat grounded in reality for product placement purposes? Like, is that why there's just like cars and guns and shit? So they can have cup noodle and Audi vehicles.
Was it Carhartt?
Maybe. Coleman.
Yeah.
Equipment.
That was what was weird to me about the game, because like the very first thing that happens in this game is you get a Coleman ad.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that the whole game was going to be plagued with that kind of nonsense.
It's
and
so
it really
strange.
Isn't. Like cup noodle and
in
Coleman.
In some subtle ways, it is, because like whenever you go camping, you see the logo everywhere.
I thought, you know, it was going to be Pepsi and Taco Bell and McDonald's and Ford Motors and all.
If it was like Crazy Taxi style where your car waypoints were like, take me to the KFC and be lime. I'm on it, boss.
With the exception of that horrible cup noodles quest where they just go on about how great cup noodles are.
That was amazing.
It wasn't that bad for product placement.
Yeah.
I would love to know what the different prices were. Because like I said, the stuff like Coleman Camping or whatever, or even like the branded car. Look, you're going to have a car in your game. I guess it can be a model of car. But I would love what the different prices were. Like, I want to know how much extra cup noodle paid for
what did they get?
Monologue on cup noodle.
Multiple monologues. Gladio would not shut up about it.
Not shut up.
The best thing about Brian's playthrough is that the last thing they did before going into the city for the last time was go camping and eat cup noodle.
Yeah.
We made Ignis cook cup noodle. It was beautiful.
You mean he went, like, on his own, went camping? Like, before?
No, there's, like, one
the
camping
one.
Sequence before or
yeah.
something like
so
that.
There's the one forced cut scene
yeah.
before you go in where he talks about how much he loves his brothers, and I thought that was a neat scene.
It was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back to that even at the end.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know. We didn't see it.
Okay. Well, that's important.
You know,
they really expand
streaming.
On that.
Yeah. He was, Brian was painting us a word picture because we couldn't hear anything either.
Okay.
It was
yeah,
just
not
a,
the game
we
audio.
Could
we could hear him,
speaking.
Yeah.
It's a really good scene. Like, I would even go on YouTube.
Yeah, I'll go look it up on YouTube later.
I was thinking about doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I know it exists.
You know, it's it's a neat little bit where, you know, the main character knows that he's gonna die and they're probably all gonna die.
Woohoo, mortality.
Right, that there's a sort of acceptance to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of bold for a game, you know?
Yeah, and they, I mean, and especially
they sort
like...
sort of wrote the ending in a way that was lightly ambiguous, but he's dead.
He sure.
Died. They all died.
Especially from, like, a studio that is, like, their thing has been, you know, kind of wrote, like, much more paint-by-the-numbers JRPG-style stuff, where, like, those stories are almost, you know, copy and paste at this point of the core of what that genre can be sometimes,
right.
But... like I said, this game goes for it a little bit. Like, it's not all hits for sure, but...
like, the story even... they don't do a great job of even explaining the story of, like, where all the demons came from and why there's a war and all that. But going through, I think it was 12 or 13, where you start reading stuff on the walls and it talks about how this all came about. Like, that's a really interesting story that I wish I could have seen. And
yeah, I just... I've
been more immersed in. Like,
it's a similar...
you know, an empire rising to power on... turning people into demons and how that fucks them over.
I mean, it's a similar thing with, again, 13, is they told a terrible... they picked a terrible medium for storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could literally, like...
look at the compendium, Lorraine.
Basically, that's the only way to figure out that game.
The story's there if you go 10 levels deep.
Somebody bothered to write
but
it, it's just...
like, don't.
Nobody just bothered to shoot it.
Just stop, please. Just give me cutscenes, that's fine. I don't want to have to read...
even the major villain I thought was pretty neat. Like,
he was neat. I wish I knew more about him.
Right. That's one of those things you had to either pay a lot of attention or read about it on the internet.
I mean, I did. Because I was trying to figure out what was happening in this video game.
I was at least like, glad that he didn't ultimately become like a god creature with two dozen heads or something.
Yes, but at the same time, I felt like the last encounter with him was kind of anticlimactic.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
those are both true. But I took that as just like endemic of the sort of game that they made. Just like, it made sense to me in the context of the things that came before it in many respects, but I totally get being underwhelmed by it. Absolutely.
Especially after fighting like Ifrit for like 20 hours beforehand and then going and just fighting just one dude. He has all of your abilities. Warp.
Mm-hmm.
Dodge, attack, armature fight.
It's
okay,
fun.
We're done.
I mean, it's fun to look at, I guess.
Yes,
yeah,
sure.
And Lorraine, you're right. The thing that makes it feel most out of place probably is the encounters that come like immediately before it. Like I said, in the context of the whole game, I understand why they would have an encounter like that to kind of close it out. But like fighting a big, giant, weird thing and then going into that is definitely a little weird. It's a weird game.
Yes.
It's a weird game.
I like it. I'm interested in...
I did so.
I'm interested in seeing what Final Fantasy 16 is when that game comes out 15 years from now.
Another MMO!
Maybe. Shit, I don't know, man.
Never
you
stop.
You gotta at least wait two mainline games to have another MMO.
Or do we?
Maybe not. If the arc goes, you know, 3, 2, 1...
Unless if you count
every game is
7,
an MMO.
Maybe the 7 remake... they're counting, and then another MMO, and then we won't have another main game until 17.
All right.
Ew. Final Fantasy
Lorraine,
17 sounds disgusting.
Pull a number out of thin air and tell me when you think the Final Fantasy 7 remake will be complete, since they said they're breaking that up into, like, multiple releases.
So like, the
year.
Last release?
Yeah,
oh,
when is the
God.
Last release? Like, let's say it's 3 discs, just like the PlayStation game. When does disc 3 of Final Fantasy 7 come out?
I mean, if you break it up like that, I don't think that's
2020.
The best way to do it, because the front is very top-heavy with content. The second disc is kind of
I'm
and
not saying
the third
saying,
disc is like it's literally the end
I bet
encounter.
It'll be
right.
I bet it'll be 3 like product releases.
Are
I
you
doubt
sure,
it'll be
though?
No, I haven't I'm not even remotely like that's
could,
my gut feeling.
I don't think so. I bet it'll be more.
3
really?
Feels right to
you think
me
they too. Could get away with more than like a trilogy of
I
that
would,
game
I would think 4 to 5
4 discs or 4 standalone releases.
Are they going to be $60 games though?
Probably.
I assume.
Unless one of them is, like, way shorter. Like, maybe the last one is just literally the end of the game, and that's $40 or something. But, yeah, I would just, you know, why not?
Mm.
I would totally believe that they would charge
I
full price for those things.
I had assumed episodic meant they might be just doing smaller chunks.
I had not assumed that at all. We'll find out.
These games, there's got to be a way to, like, transfer save data from one game to the next.
Maybe?
Sure.
Like, how mandatory is it that you have played through and owned the games preceding the games as
they
come
out. I mean, maybe it'll be like a Mass Effect trilogy thing where you could kind of like You just have, there's like a base tree. Level. No. There's like, cloud, no, Julia. Shut up. Listen to me. You could transfer saves forward, or there's just like a base level to go into. Like, you've got all this stuff here.
Mm-hmm. That would be funny. Because, like, I mean, for stat-wise and stuff, they totally did that in Mass Effect, but then also for the, like, the story stuff, which...
I know.
The game wouldn't have to do it for that, but it would be funny if they, like... You had to go up to a kiosk and say, like...
I understand what Mass Effect is.
Oh, I learned Knights of the Round last game. Thanks for... give it to me again, please.
You wouldn't get that early on.
Shh. Gotta put in a 100-character password.
You have That's to breed right. that chocobo to get the golden one.
Oh, God.
And then kill yourself, because that is a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another I bet... However they divide it up, I bet it won't be exactly by the way the PlayStation game is divided. Like, I bet it'll be more complex than that. And my guess is still that the first one will end at the end of, like, when the world opens up. Like, the first one will end when
probably. That's nowhere near the end of the first disc.
Well, I mean, that's, like I said, that's just my guess for what they'll put into this game.
That makes a good narrative cut.
Yeah, it's a good stopping point.
There's no way they can be three, because so much else stuff happens after that.
Hmm?
Well, you haven't ever finished seven, so you can't really talk.
I don't know, man. The other thing there is, like, you have to, like, try to kind of unravel it in your brain if you were recreating that game. Like, how much of that time is, like, grinding that they can theoretically carve out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much of it is, like, a bunch of random battles that you're not going to get into? Because presumably, like, every single encounter will probably be some scripted thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's weird to think about. Remaking that game is no joke. Like, they weren't kidding when they said it would be really fucking hard. Yeah. But...
yes.
They weren't content to just make a remake. They're basically making four or five new games out of this.
Yeah, I mean, functionally, like I said, since they've shifted, like, it's not the battle system or whatever that it was. Like,
right.
They really are building a new game.
Yes.
Like it's not
a massive new game.
Yeah. So they've got to both do that and kind of be, you know, they have to service what the original game was also. Mm-hmm. So it's almost more of a wrinkle than if they literally just made the next Final Fantasy game. It's going to be weird.
Eh, it's not like the upmakes of, like, 3 and 4 on the DS or whatever.
Yeah,
like, they're actually building a new game as opposed to, like,
the same scale here.
Updated graphics of an NES game or what have you.
Mm-hmm. It'll be something.
Yep.
Can't wait to find out.
Last couple of thoughts on 15. If you get a chance, there's a special, you know, Atma weapon type fight. This one, you fight an Adamantoise. I don't know if you've seen that.
I don't think so.
I would look that up. Like, the scale of this is massive. Like,
you should just send us, like, find a good YouTube video and sure. Send us it on Facebook or something. I'll mm-hmm. totally check that out.
Like, I was really impressed just by the scale of this. Like, the eyeball of this thing is about the size of one of your characters.
Nice. That stuff was still, like I said, and that became a mixed bag when the camera got all messed up, but
right.
there was impressive scale in that game when in terms of some of those encounters.
That Titan fight was cool.
Mm-hmm. The Titan fight, and all of the summons, I thought, were just, like, spectacular to watch. Even
Leviathan
if they were
was kind
silly.
Of annoying, though.
Yeah.
That was a little, like, bit of... That was mainly camera, too, though. Fun. That game was a little bit of a mess, that encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like a Sonic fight.
It was a Sonic fight.
Is this the end of Sonic Adventure?
You're literally flying through the air, made of magic and throwing
rolling
light at things.
Rolling around at the speed of sound.
Indeed.
Woo!
The other major post-game thing is there's a special dungeon separate from those ones I was talking about before. It's a platforming dungeon maze.
Dear God.
And it's awesome.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, holy crap. It was... I don't even know how to describe it. It's completely unique to anything I've ever played in a Final Fantasy.
Huh.
And you're just kind of thrown into this labyrinth, and all you can do is jump around.
Jump, jump, jump around.
It took 4 hours.
Wow.
It was great.
I'll take your word for it.
That's crazy. I mean, it's cool that it's in there. Like, that
right,
definitely
really
sounds
well
interesting. Man, what a game. So weird.
And then I saw some, like, loosely sourced theory about how it's a Greek stage play about how Ifrit went into the underworld to save the goddess of the earth and failed, and that's why all the demons happened.
Alright.
I heard there was something, like, from my reading about what happened in this video game, I read something about Ifrit was the cause of most of the problems.
Yeah.
He got, like,
he started,
scoffed in some way, or something bad happened to him.
He started the Star Scourge, which was just a poison that turned you into a demon and turned everything into demons.
Yeah. So he's to blame for some reason.
The fan theory is that he did that to save the world.
Hooray! Good for Ifrit.
So go for that.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
I thought it was neat that they turned into Ifrit. I'm going to pronounce it Ifrit. Yeah, they turned him into an antagonist as opposed to, I think he's been a protagonist in every other game or, you know, a supporting
I mean, he's like the first summon you get in a lot of games. He's like, oh, you're my best friend.
Now I'm going to kill you.
Die. Crisis of Infinite Shivas, though. So many Shivas.
I do still appreciate that about the universe they set up, where it's, like I said, something that's much more grounded in reality than previous games, but you can still just have summons that just come in and fuck shit up.
They're actually, like, deities, though.
So, eh,
like,
whatever.
I mean, like, whatever. Whatever.
I don't really care what they are. It just makes me happy when they're doing stuff.
Okay. I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Just like I just like the both the combination of just like dudes fighting and then also big giant monsters in the background just like also fighting.
Like the end of Kingsglaive.
Yes, exactly.
The whole tone of that game is kind of weird because like for most of the game it feels like you're in or like the 1960s ish, but then you get into the main city and that looks like it's in the near to distant future.
Sure. 2025
and they've all got, cell phones and then there's still weird things like
they all have cell phones.
Nobody has Google alerts apparently. They have to go pick up the newspaper to see what happened to his dad or whatever.
It's really kind of bizarre.
Like, CNN
super,
comes
super
on.
Super strange.
And they hear the daily news.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
What a thing.
They go to a diner.
Yep. Lots of diners.
The same diner in every town.
Yeah. All this food. There's a lot of food porn.
It's a chain
in this
restaurant,
game.
Man. Look.
Yeah. The food, the way that food looked was really neat.
Food porn.
Even if mostly it was kind of pointless.
I'm going to say that more man hours were spent on rendering that food than they were to attach his new head to his young body.
If only the damn character didn't have to stop the game every time he learned a new recipe to tell you he learned it.
That
recipe.
Was my favorite part.
Shut up.
I loved it. It was so stupid. I've discovered a new recipe.
In the Moogle Carnival, which is like sort of a side thing where you play as the main character just at a carnival. You learn a recipe there, but you're by yourself, so he has to say it. I've come up with a new recipe.
It's beautiful. God, this game is so stupid.
Man. Deep. It's real weird. Like I said, I like it, though. It's a cool...
I'm glad it exists. I'm glad they finished it.
Yeah, yes. And I'm looking forward to any... I'll take whatever you got, Square Enix. Like, show me what your next release is, because I still have, like, zero confidence that either Kingdom Hearts or Final Fantasy VII will be out this year.
Yeah, I don't think they have a scheduled release this year.
So yeah, exactly. No. They probably don't have a game coming out in 2017, but I wasn't That's necessarily great. Excited for 16. Their future releases before this game, but now I'm much more so. Like, I want to see where they go with stuff.
They've got the 12 remake this year.
Oh, that's right. I forgot
soon,
all about that.
I think, actually.
Yeah, it's actually pretty soon.
It's just very easy to forget that Final Fantasy XII exists. But
poor hey, 12.
I would get to play it for the first time.
You should, you should try it out. I still think that game is underappreciated. Like, I think it's better than
maybe that's
being completely
your
forgotten.
Stream game after Valkyria Chronicles?
Maybe. We'll see.
I've had very little experience with 12, personally.
Yeah, I don't know how much they've changed from it.
Sure.
Which, again, I've never played. But
from what I've heard, I think it's just an HD remix, an HD re-release.
Yeah, I don't think there are many functional differences in it. I think it's much closer to something like that, like that Crash Bandicoot thing they're putting out where they're literally replacing a bunch of art, but like nothing else. Like it's sort of just the same game that it was before.
I mean, it is a PS2 game.
And
they need these things to pad out their release schedule.
Exactly. Because 7 and Kingdom Hearts 3 are not coming out this year.
They're not coming out ever.
That too.
Mm. In many ways, that is a good, like, it is both a good and bold game to resurrect because like you said, I don't know that game has a built-in fan base. Like, the 10 remake obviously you'll sell, like, a bunch of copies of that game, because that was a touchstone for people.
It was the first PS2 game.
Exactly, the first PS2 game.
Not the last PS2 one.
The first PS2 game, and it was a Final Fantasy, like, it was probably the last Final Fantasy game that came out without, like, significant competition just in general. Like, big video game releases were just less constant than they are, like, at that point than they are now. So, like, that game was even
Call
more
of Duty
of a tentpole.
Call of Duty was just a glimmer in some guy's eye.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It was a campaign shooter.
Like, of course you're going to remake that, and of course people are going to buy it. But like I said, 12's a little less of a sure thing in terms of, like, are people going to show up for it? But it's also a good game to resurrect for that reason, because there are presumably plenty of people who didn't try it out.
It's their 30th anniversary as well. Like, you might as well just kind of go all in and try to get as many things being talked about as you can. Go, go, go.
Yep.
Never stop. Or stop.
Yeah, they'll do a third Theat Rhythmia game that just rolls in whatever original music 15 has in it.
15's got some good music.
I love me some Theat Rhythmia.
And not just the radio, which you can
play all the songs.
Brian didn't buy any of the songs. I was so mad.
Well, the thing that pissed me off that I didn't realize at the time is you buy these soundtracks to play on your radio or your MP3 player. You can't turn them off. So if you bought the Final Fantasy Type Zero soundtrack, it's always going to be in there, and you can't just tell it to not play those songs.
That's hilarious. Oh,
there's
man.
No eject button
yes,
on the regalia.
Like, right.
Delete. Undo.
It's like Pandora Radio, except you can never downvote it or shut it off. Enjoy this
a cool
now.
Little function.
Deal with it. Oh, that's
I
funny.
Just wish you could have played it outside of the car.
Yeah. I listened to that other podcast where Brian said you couldn't. There's an MP3 player you can buy where you can do just
so
that.
So he just didn't. Okay,
he just
what an
didn't
there you go. Like you said, he didn't buy enough stuff.
I knew there had to be something.
It would have been crazy for them not to. Like, if they're going to go as far as to give you manual access to that stuff, it makes total sense that that would be in there. Fact checked. We got it.
Hooray.
Well, like, the original music for the game is really good, too. Like, all the battle music and the summon music. What it plays when you're encountering the summons is pretty great, and I've had it on my MP3 player for a while now.
I like it.
I mean, I haven't heard a Final Fantasy with music I didn't like.
Fair enough.
13 had its time to shine. There were good songs in that game.
Battle music's good in that game.
13's got one good song.
It's got like two or three. They have multiple. There's multiple versions of the same good songs. I actually put some 13 music on my iPod relatively recently.
14, I don't think I can remember any songs from.
I didn't play it, so.
And that probably helps, but.
Yeah.
Even 11, I didn't play a ton of.
Didn't play that ever either.
MMOs are so much weirder, though, because the music even has to be functionally different for that, because you're not really hitting, like, you know, peaks in the story or whatever where they want to emotionally. Like, it's almost, like, calling it elevator music is reductive and unfair, but, like, at some point it does have to be music that can just sort of be played while you're doing whatever.
It's built to be somewhat repetitive without making you want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
My only interaction with those games is music is through Theat Rhythmia, because I think it's got stuff from both 11 and 14 in it.
I definitely remember some 11. I'm not sure about 14.
Well, the
you're
second
probably right.
One,
you played it a lot more than I did.
Curtain Call, the second Theat Rhythmia game, had 14 and a lot more. Like, there was maybe some Type Zero songs in there, but who cares?
That had some Bravely Default and
Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger, yeah.
That's a video game.
You gotta buy the Chrono Trigger, though.
Right, it was DLC.
I mean, yeah, you had
worth
to buy
it. But
there was a lot of other
saying.
Stuff you had to buy, too. That's probably the most DLC I've ever bought for a game, was Theat Rhythmia. Played a lot of Curtain Call.
You gonna buy the Zelda DLC?
What?
I mean, we can get into it. I'm totally okay. Lorraine, do you not know about this?
What?
The Breath of the Wild thing? Their season pass?
Oh, I heard you.
Okay.
That. I thought you meant for Theat Rhythmia. I'm like, what the fuck?
No,
that game
came
out like 2 years ago.
No.
I'm ready. We can totally get into news-like stuff, which would include that. Let's get right into it. So things have been happening in video games. Among them, new details for all kinds of Switch stuff that thing's almost out.
Next week.
Next week, that'll exist.
Next week? Holy crap.
Yeah, next Friday.
Next Friday.
The
Switch
10 days away from isolating myself and playing Zelda.
Yeah, exactly. Like, outlets and stuff, like, people who are supposed to have them now are getting them in stock.
Right.
They're not supposed to show off, like, people are showing the controller, but, like, not the console itself, which is really weird. Just, like, that whole thing is strange.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a NDA type thing.
Yeah, it's
what you can't show.
It's all Nintendo being weird about embargoes. But
literally everything.
In any case.
The one I heard is they couldn't open the amiibos, but they could show the boxes.
Yes.
What?
For the Zelda ones.
Yeah.
It's don't even.
Oh my
Nintendo's nuts.
Yes.
Like, those people are crazy. you know, sometimes it just, anyway.
I mean, we knew that already.
But yeah, so among the things that have been slowly leaking out about, you know, like leaking out or revealed about the Switch or the games that it'll have on it was the revelation that there will be a season pass of DLC for Zelda, which is basically, here, I pulled it up here. Let me look at the calendar thing.
It was like two or three waves.
Yeah, yeah. So if you buy it, basically from the get-go, you get some bonus items in the game. Like, there are three treasure chests where you can just find treasure. Stuff inside it, including exclusive clothing.
Oh, that's right. It was like a shirt with the Switch logo on it or something.
What?
You know, the Switch is an in-universe concept in Zelda.
Oh, my God.
This iteration of Hyrule has
what is contains this game? The Nintendo Switch.
I mean, he's got a tablet. Like,
I know, but what is this game?
And then the first DLC pack will be in the summer, so that's what anywhere between like May and August, basically.
Sure.
Adds new Cave of Trials challenge, new hard mode, an additional map feature. So I guess the world will just get a little bigger,
an additional map feature.
Or more defined. Yeah, I'm just reading the bullet points.
Almost dated later.
Yeah. And then DLC pack 2, which will be holiday, which, you know, again, that could be anywhere from like mid September to like whenever, like December 31st, I guess. New original story, new dungeon, and additional challenges. And I think that's where people
were
losing their shit. But the way they've got it worded here, it makes me think that people should just calm down. Because they're not saying... Yes. Like, I think the internet's reaction was like, oh, they're going to charge us $20 to end this game.
No. It's like a side story.
Exactly.
It's like a
it'll be
DLC
just,
bonus
yeah,
mission.
It'll be more a side quest.
Like the... The Last of Us thing, like that, like the pre thing, it's like that. I'm assuming, like
sure, yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is Zelda.
Some
off
supplemental,
doing some weird, shit
some supplemental
or
material to give you more gameplay. Yeah, so, like there is a story within it, but it's not necessarily
it's what
like
that team's gonna be working on now that the game's you know shipped.
I mean, it went gold. They're
and they're probably working on this stuff now because exactly. It's
right.
been they've been pressing discs for a couple weeks at this point.
Or discs. So.
Well, you know, carts
and discs.
I guess, it's
Wii
a Wii U game. You're
right.
There are discs involved.
Maybe.
But no, I don't see, and when we had our other Switch-focused podcast, I was much more, like, in general, I'm still a little concerned with how Nintendo has been handling some of the things about the Switch monetarily, but this to me seems totally fine.
Yeah, this isn't where I'm drawing the line.
Yeah, this is a very modern
I'm not sure if I'll
approach.
Get it.
It'll
depend on what the content ends up actually being.
Exactly, and specifically like the second thing, like you guys will have to let me know much closer to release. Like this is about like basically once people have kind of completed what that game already is, like Aonuma's going to have to get that out there and say, you know, this is, you know, 6 hours of additional content, or whatever the number is. Like, they're going to have to tell you about how much more Zelda you're going to get in that package. But, yeah, I definitely haven't ruled it out or committed myself
we'll
to buying it for sure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem unreasonable. Like, for what's described here, $20 seems, like, pretty much what you would probably expect to pay for that content. And I still liked... I liked that they supported Smash Brothers after the fact.
Right.
I liked the Mario Kart stuff that they did.
Yeah,
Mario
they did some really good. They did more free stuff with Splatoon, but they did a lot with Splatoon.
Yeah. Right. I'm surprised they never tried any paid DLC for that.
Yeah. I wonder if it was just because it was just such a wild card at first. Like,
maybe.
It kind of just like oh, it's this new IP, and it just kind of came out, and then it also got popular. I wonder if they just had this stuff kind of planned.
Oh, sure.
And then, like, maybe, like, for the first year, and then after that, they're like, well, let's just keep doing it. And at that point, they couldn't charge,
The other road that they could go down, and this is much more real than it's ever been since they've already made mobile games now that do exactly this, is, like, this game is, like, a resource game. Like, that's part of what this game is. Like, you have, you'll build swords, and then they break or whatever. They absolutely could have monetized, like, items. Just like, or look, if you want to buy 50 pelts, give us a dollar, or, you know, whatever the thing is.
The Horse Fire Emblem Heroes strategy.
Exactly. Yeah, and that stuff is, like, you should be rightfully skeptical and probably non-interactive with monetizations like that in fully priced retail games.
Yeah.
But this is not that at all. And
I think like that's what the amiibos might do.
Sure.
Something close to that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is kind of exactly what they do. Like, you can tap them once a day and it'll drop a bunch of stuff.
Just give you some items.
Wolf Link.
Drop the wolf.
He's in there.
Drop a wolf on it.
Like the, there's a wolf that looks like the Twilight Princess Wolf Link in there,
right?
From what I've seen. I don't know what he does.
He follows you around and eats things.
Yep.
Oh.
Like a good wolf.
Do you think that's like a timeline thing? Do you think that's confirming that multiple reincarnated links are living in the same
Man, time? I don't fucking know.
Or is it just a wolf that happens to coincidentally
it's
look like wolf
It's probably that one. I'm assuming.
It's a spirit wolf.
The gold one from Twilight Princess?
You mean the one that's the reincarnation of the Ocarina Link?
Sure.
No, that's what it is.
I've got that book.
Yeah.
We can go look it up, but we won't. Not right now.
But we won't. Good decision.
Pause this podcast. We've got some Zelda fact-checking to do.
That's right. Indeed.
But no, this seems fine. And like I said, some of the hardware pricing from Nintendo on the Switch is still concerning to me. And even pricing on individual games, like I still think like 1-2 Switch and stuff are more expensive than they should be.
But Zelda right now.
But this, as far as DLC stuff has gone in the past, like, I think they were pretty much spot on with the pricing that they had for Smash Brothers characters and levels. Like,
I thought it was maybe a little much.
Like, it was, maybe, I think it was the most.
Maybe not that it was a little much, but that they never had like, a Game of the Year type.
Yeah,
like a
compilation or bundles, right? Yeah, that stuff all would have been welcome, but, like, it wasn't unreasonable.
Maybe that's
like, I think
what
they,
Smash for Wii U will be.
I think they charged
of the year
as much as they could have while still, you know, being mostly satisfactory to most of their user base.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, some of this other stuff on the Switch, I think, is kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, they're charging maybe a little more than they should be.
$80
just full stop.
For a controller.
Yeah. But, like, this seems, like I said, the devil's in the details, so once we know more, like, you'll know if you feel that your $20 will be well spent buying this.
If that dungeon takes 20 minutes, then
that's
a bad sign.
And, again, we don't even know, like, really what the details are of the whole core game yet, so playing that will probably give you a good indication of, like, you know, once you find a dungeon area in that game and you see roughly how long it is, you can guess that this additional one will probably be similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with them just kind of trying to get a couple more dollars out of this just because of the huge amount of manpower and money they put into this game just even for the retail release.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then the same
thing. For values-wise, I think we're going to far exceed the $60 retail price.
Absolutely. The same thing there is, like, people are having the same knee-jerk reaction to this game, you know, or to Nintendo games that they have to some other games where, like, this isn't a thing that they are shoving out the door in 18 months. This game has been delayed three or four times at this point. Like, they have clearly tried to push it back until it's complete. Yeah, I was going to say 11 or 12.
I think it was 12.
It's been in development since about 3 months after that.
Right, exactly.
Game was finished.
So it's only been, you know, gestating for 4.5 years, probably.
Because there wasn't a Wii U Zelda.
Yeah.
There were the remakes.
That's correct.
The two remakes and then Breath of the Wild.
I mean, this is the Wii U Zelda.
It is both the Wii U and the Switch Zelda game. Yeah.
I mean, this is what they've been doing this whole time. I mean, they made Wind Waker look really pretty and maybe changed Twilight Princess. I'm still not sure.
Damn. I don't know if you meant for that to sound harsh, but it sure felt that way.
Just a ROM on a disc.
Just that trailer, man. Just waiting for this.
I mean,
nothing happened.
Again, you're not wrong in that, like, it did not get the graphical treatment that Wind Waker did.
But also, it's a very different art style.
Yeah.
And, like, they may
just
have, they probably up-res some textures, and that's probably a little harder to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But Wind Waker, though.
I mean, Wind Waker GameCube. Mwah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it's a good looking
game.
There
is not a bad version
of that
game.
Basically, they slightly up-raised it, and they added widescreen, which is pretty good.
And selfies.
Good selfies.
Beautiful.
But yeah, I think this will be totally okay. Like I said, it doesn't stink of like overreach to me for the moment.
Yeah, not yet. That could change.
So let's find out. But like I would just say, like, slow your roll, everybody. It's gonna be fine.
Hey, it'll be fine.
No, burn it all down. Let's overreach.
Selling my Nintendo. I got a pre-order. You want it?
Yep, that's right. I'm still waiting for more details on the stolen Switches. So this was a thing we talked about off the podcast.
Right.
So originally, it was mid last week, somebody had posted a YouTube video, I think originally on NeoGAF, that was like, hey, I've got a Nintendo Switch. Someone sent it to me in the mail early. Check it out. Here's like the menus and stuff. And everyone was like, oh, that's fucking awesome. And then a few days later,
think the story would end there.
Yeah, exactly. A few days later, basically, I think Nintendo put out like a straight up press release that said, like, all right, this console is part of a allocation of consoles that was stolen out of a distribution warehouse, and we are seeking all legal actions we can pursue at the moment. so that happened. But yeah. I would still, I'm not sure if we'll ever hear any more details about it, but I would love to know, like, how many of these are taken and how many dudes at wherever they were working it took to, like, tear a bunch of the shit out of the warehouse. And honestly, I'm surprised that this kind of stuff hasn't happened more often with, like, hard-to-get products. Because for people who presumably, you know, there's definitely risk involved in stealing shit from your place of employment, but, like, these aren't,
These are big ticket items.
Well, these aren't, I'm guessing, like, jobs where, like, I would just think people are stupid enough that they would risk it more often for, like, presumably the low pay that they're receiving.
Right, if you're an Amazon fulfiller, then
you're making, you know, barely above minimum wage, if that. And that you know, pallet of consoles you can flip for a couple $1,000 starts sounding really appealing. But yeah, it's just a weird, like, it's a really weird thing. And there are all those isolated, like, I remember, like, every console launch, you'd see one or two, like, somebody got held up at knife point at a GameStop and had his new Xbox jacked right out from under him at launch or whatever. But this sounds like it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Like, I would love personally the details of, like, you know, they shoved 15 consoles into their pants and then walked to the building or whatever.
It's hard
stupid
to gauge
thing it might
the
have
level
been.
At which Nintendo needs to get off the couch, because we've seen them get off the couch for very little.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So
who knows what the scale of this ultimately was.
But yeah, if nothing else, it's an interesting anecdote.
Yeah.
But it does kind of speak to, like, take the illegality out of it. It does speak to the, like, they're generating hype for this release, which is good. And whether they can maintain it, like, for any length of time is the question after it comes out. But, like, people are hungry to get their hands on the thing, which is a good start.
9 days away, and I still don't know how the virtual console works.
Yes, no one does. You know. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it launched without it. Like, if they were just, it's, like, you know, 2 months from now,
they've done that before.
You'll be able to download Super Nintendo games, but
all
right. Give it a hot second.
Only if you buy them first.
Sure. there's an updated list that was just updated today, I think, of games that are launching with the Switch. The Binding of Isaac is now no longer a launch title. It has been moved to be determined. So that kind of sucks.
I know that one had a lengthy process to even get approved for, you know, Nintendo standards.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, that game certainly has content that one might think Nintendo might not want as the flagship of, you know, indie releases, their new thing. But so the current slate, the remaining slate of launch games are 1-2 Switch, Just Dance 2017, Human Resource Machine, which I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
I Am Setsuna, which I am interested in after being reminded of what that game is.
Does it have a price point there, whatever you were looking at?
It doesn't have prices listed here, but on Steam it's $40, so I'm assuming it's going to be the same price. Like, I can't imagine why it would be different.
Yeah.
That's priced a little high for me.
Because I didn't even know
what I assume that is.
Yeah, I remember reading about that game last year, but I forgot the title of it, and it just kind of fell off my radar. And then when it popped back up here again, I'm like, oh, right, that's their, like, that's the Square Enix weird, like, Chrono Trigger tribute game. Like,
right.
Right? All right, check that out.
Squeenix.
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Skylanders, Imaginators, Super Bomberman R, and then Little Inferno and World of Goo, which are both, like, I mean, I guess those guys had those games lying around on previous, like, Wii platforms, and they were like, sure, why not?
It'll take an hour.
Yeah. Somebody will spend a weekend and we'll port these up and it'll be fine. But those two were, I was just like, really? And, you know, I got nothing against those games, but it's just like,
they're so old
again?
At this point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, World of Goo especially. Like, because I think that was on...
That was on the Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember, like, I'm trying to fix the timeline in my mind. I feel like Little Inferno was a Wii... It was either a Wii or a Wii U launch title. I forget which.
It was, like, right around there.
Yeah, but, you know, in any case, those games have been out forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, cool that those guys want to put them out on a new thing, but it's still just strange. Like, it's a little weird. But, yeah, that's what we've got. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's, like, 10 titles, which, you know, there have been launches with fewer games, but not many. But again, like, Zelda's the thing they needed, so that'll get them through the first 3 months, and then basically Splatoon 2 better not be delayed, I guess, is the thing to take away from the Switch launch.
And I'm still, like, I would put money on that either they get Mario out this year or the thing tanks.
You know, I could still totally see that happening.
The other.
I totally agree with you.
that, like, you don't want to miss essentially two holidays in a row.
Yeah.
Like, I could make I could try to make guesses at what they would think could fill that hole, you know, in the holiday release lineup, right, if that thing gets pushed, but
Something with Smash Brothers.
Yeah, exactly. Just who knows?
Plugging holes. That they're making.
Maybe they've got, like, around E3 time, presumably we'll see, like, projects they haven't revealed yet for stuff, right, that's currently processed. Like,
I would
If they had, like, you know, a Super Mario Sunshine remake that they could push out,
yeah,
that might come close. I'd play that game. It's no Mario Odyssey in terms of being, like, fresh and new and interesting, but I'd do that.
I wonder if it's too soon to
try and crank out Pokemon. I still can't remember the name.
Who cares? There's no name
for
it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, there's no, like, I don't think they would remake it. I think it would just be, like, the third.
Well, the third one's already been confirmed, but...
Has it, though?
I think that's what happened.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
They've...
Probably.
I think the only thing they've actually officially stated is that they're working on something.
They'll go back to Pokemon Z. Just, like, one generation
ago. It had a name and everything. It was going to be for the Switch. I don't remember the name, though.
Yeah, I could totally buy that, also, as just, like, And again, that would do it. So, you know, maybe they have other bullets in the chamber,
yeah,
if that doesn't pan out. Yet. But if E3 comes around and they don't, then, like, yeah, pressure's on, man. You got to make that shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
The account stuff is up to claim your Switch ID.
Oh, that's right.
If you want to go do that. So go to accounts.nintendo.com, I believe. Yeah. And then basically, like, which was a page that already existed, and
right,
I'm not even sure how many different Nintendo things there are at this point. So there was Club Nintendo, and that's done. There's Nintendo Network ID, which is no longer, that's going to be done after the Switch comes out. Like, they're done with that.
It is?
Yes, like, this is different than that. And then there's, like, your My Nintendo account, which I think is related to this account site, but I'm not even 100% sure. It is very confusing. But I did find, basically, I followed that link earlier, and when you sign in with your Nintendo, I think it's your My Nintendo stuff again, but at this point, again, I'm not 100% certain. It takes you to a page where it has, like, a user ID field,
right,
and it'll just say, like, not yet set, if you've never done, if you've never, like launched a Switch,
page? Or...
That looks right. Yep. Lorraine's got her
phone.
I did
this, and I'm still not sure, like, what the functionality here is or what purpose it will serve.
I think it's just your display name for multiplayer stuff.
That's, okay.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's your forward-facing, like, if you were in a lobby and people with Splatoon all or whatever, right, it would have that name on it. When I typed it in, it wouldn't let me do capital letters. Like,
yeah,
it changed everything
mine
to lowercase, and I was like, oh, that looks way worse now, but whatever. I guess it is what it is. So that's happening. So if you want to be known as, like, Buttlord 420 yeah, XX, you better get in there while the getting's
Sephiroth
good.
Sephiroth XX98.
Uh-huh.
Going fast.
For all the good God Sephiroth
it,
names
Kyle,
are
you're taking mine.
yeah, I thought to get on this.
Don't throw it out there for the internet to have at.
Gosh darn it.
Additionally, from the leaks of that guy what stole some consoles, booting it up on the internet, it was confirmed through the UI in the Switch that it will basically have purchases the way that the Xbox has since 2008, where when you buy a thing for the Switch, it's tied to your Nintendo account, not
right,
like the physical Switch that you purchased it on.
Fucking finally.
So presumably you would be able to do things like if your Switch breaks, or, you know, if they release a purple one or whatever, you can
system
just buy
transfer,
it and download all that stuff again.
Watch
or
the Pikmin carry the blocks over for, like, 3 hours.
It's so
hours
weird to me that the Wii U had a system transfer feature.
Yes.
Yep.
Like, I can understand with the 3DS because it's portable and they release the upgrades for it, but why would you ever need it for a Wii U?
Because die, that's why. Kill yourself.
Kinda.
Get sad forever.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. I mean, it's good that we've gotten to this point. Like, Nintendo's now only, you know, 10 years behind,
dragging
and not 20.
Them, kicking and screaming.
In
we
terms of how online
here
purchases should work.
Better late than never.
I suppose.
But then the other unanswered question here, which I still bet it will not turn out to the player's favor, is there any way to get your previously purchased games up to the Switch?
I don't believe it at all.
I bet that won't be the case.
If, like, you're getting rid of, like, the Nintendo Network ID
games again, if you've bought them.
Maybe, like, yeah, it could be. Maybe they'll split the difference again, like they did on the Wii U.
There's going to be something here to at least soften the blow if they have to.
No.
Or, you know,
I'm prepping myself for the worst. The way
they
say no.
The way they treat the My Nintendo stuff now, that could even just be like, oh, you bought a Switch, here's 100,000 coins or whatever, and you can go use those to buy a bunch of discounts for, like, oh, you can use all this fake currency we gave you to get 50% off of Super Mario World for the 8th time.
Yay.
$5.
I've seen a lot of those that they sell discounts on that My Nintendo website now.
But you get the most of the like better discounts you get by buying games.
Right. You can't actually get free points by doing whatever dumb things that you do.
You can, but it's not like the best points.
They're not good
points
for the same stuff. Yeah.
It's like there's like the gold points.
Yeah, like a
there's like the silver points.
Like a free-to-play game, it's got multiple currencies.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them involves giving them real money one way or another.
Boo.
What a thing. Website's nice and shiny, though. It's got animations and stuff. Like, somebody styled the shit out of that My Nintendo website. I think there's at least one or two other Switch things here.
Yeah.
Oh, some of the file sizes for the digital game downloads for the Switch were revealed. There is, in fact...
What's Zelda?
Zelda is 13.4 gigs if you download as opposed to buying the cartridge. Only coming out of Japan for launch, at least, but Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2 is coming out of the Switch, and that is 32 gigabytes.
Jeez.
So if you want that game on your Switch, you either have to have an SD card or you have to buy the cartridge. Like, that will not fit on the console's internal storage with the OS.
What is the internal storage again?
The internal storage is 32 gigs, and I think you get access to, like, 27 of that.
Why?
Like, with the...
Because
it
can take SD cards, Kyle.
I mean, that's something, but why even bother?
I mean, you know what? That is an excellent point. Like, and they had to put at least some on there to hold the operating system. So, you know, I guess 32 was the cheapest possible amount they could source. Like, probably the lowest that someone would sell them at this point.
Sure.
In terms of, like, you
want
to throw this in your electronic device.
Why do you want 8 gigs of memory?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Sure.
Some Chinese factory worker said incredulously to a Nintendo executive.
I'm going to guess that at some point those white Wii U's will be a collector's item because no one bought them.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a super stupid thing to do, but I was thinking of buying one of those. They might still exist. Nintendo had 32 gigabyte versions of those on their website. Like, you could buy refurbished
white
32 ones.
Gig?
Yeah, which I think the only way those existed was at some point they sold, like, bundles where that game came with like Skylanders or something.
Yeah,
it was after launch.
Okay.
Yeah, because the launch it was like 8 gigs.
It was,
wasn't
yeah,
it?
That
right,
was the 8
the launch
gig,
was 8
like,
gig
gig
and
version.
The more expensive 32 gig model.
What the fuck?
But I mean, yeah, that thing specifically, like, I bet those are in short supply. I was like, oh, I could get on one of these, but it would have been a stupid thing to do.
Go back far enough, like the redesigned NES and Super NES are kind of rare.
Oh yeah, like the top loader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder how rare those, like, Wii Minis are now.
That's a good question. Those were so cheap to begin with.
Yeah, that was the point.
Did they do two versions of those, or was it just one?
I can only think of the one.
Yeah.
It was the black and red one, right?
Yeah, that, like, it was almost top-loading or something, and it didn't have the game... I know it didn't have the GameCube stuff in it, and it didn't have internet. Like, there was no way to connect it to, like... You couldn't virtual console or anything. It was literally just a box that
What's
could play
point?
Wii Sports.
They did you a favor.
You know, something like that. You can never play Brawl Online. Oh, thank God.
Oh, no.
It's the Colosseum. Wrecked by Rock Wrecker.
What a thing.
All right. Just the short version of the story is that the Wii Mini has not appreciated in value.
Fair
cool.
enough. Thanks, eBay. And then finally... this is unrelated to the Switch, so we have one piece of non-Switch-related news, but this happened, like, 2 weeks ago, I think, at this point, but we missed a show, so we missed a week, so I wanted to at least touch on it at some point. Steam's doing away with Greenlight stuff, which is interesting, and the more that I thought about it, the more that I think it's probably the right move.
Probably.
Even as someone who has, like, we've gone through the Greenlight process
honestly,
and had
the
a
thing that
100%
I wonder
success
about...
rate.
Is what happens to us since we have a game that is greenlit that is not out?
And I don't have an answer for that yet, because I still do get notifications from them. Like, I just got an email, like, 2 days ago that mentioned, like, VAT tax changes for, like, selling things in certain territories. Like, you know, selling games to Japanese people is now 8% or something or whatever. Like, that was unrelated to this, but it was just, you know, like a notification from Steam through their, you know, developer portal thing. It was like, hey, here's a thing that you should know about. But I haven't gotten any automated emails about this transition, probably because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, sure.
And then I would guess, you know, once they're really ready to flip the switch, they'll... I can't say the word switch now without thinking. Anyway. they'll let
people... What are they replacing it with?
So they're replacing it with straight up...
Pay us money.
Yeah. Okay. So Greenlight before
that
was...
That almost makes sense.
Yeah, Greenlight before was you would pay a $100 fee to get in the door to potentially set up individual game pages, and they would take that and download it... They would give that money to charity, like whenever a developer did that. And then you would basically build like a Facebook profile kind of for an individual game. And you would put up, you know, a 2-minute trailer and a couple screenshots and like a bunch of descriptive text and say, here's my game. Here's why I think it's great. Here's why you should give me votes so that I can put it on Steam. And then once you did that, it was literally just a public web page that anyone could go to. And you, there was a big upvote and a big downvote button. And if your game got enough upvotes, it would be approved by Valve, and you would basically be allowed into the like developer backend to release products on Steam.
Yeah, like the store proper kind of stuff. Yeah.
So like I said, we had done that for both the games we're working on, Down the Drain and Super Cucumber, and Super Cucumber was approved like mid-last year, and Down the Drain hasn't been to date. And like Lorraine said, I don't really know what that means for either of them. I'm assuming Cucumber is probably still good. And, you know, Down the Drain would be through this new process. That would be my guess. But I guess we won't know until they flip the switch.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, as Lorraine also said, now it's changed from that complicated process into a... They haven't stated what the numbers will be, but they said...
Between, like...
Developers will pay...
Like, $100 and, like, $5,000 or something
like that.
Yeah,
developers will pay...
That's quite the range.
Anywhere between, like $100 or $500, I think, to $5,000 per game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you give them that money and that gets you into the store. And then I guess there's some kind of back end process where, like, once you sell X number of copies or generate X number of revenue, they pay that money back out to you. Like, they don't just keep it in perpetuity. If you're able to generate revenue, they'll essentially, like you'll recoup. Yeah, you'll recoup all that money over time if your game sells. But, like, all that stuff's still up in the air in terms of, like, how those prices will play out and, like, what your sales would need to be to get that money back. But, you know, I don't know. On the one hand, you would want to say, you know, I want everybody to put everything on Steam. Just, like, let me have it. Get it out there. But at the same point, like, how that has turned out, I think, over the years is that, you know, there is the optimistic thought that, like, oh, if everybody gets their games on the store, they'll all be successful because Steam's enormous and it has millions of users. But, like, it has really just kind of diluted the focus on any individual game to where, like, there's so many things coming out on a given week that it's almost impossible for anything to surface.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's awesome, there are plenty... I'm assuming there are great games that come out on Steam every week that either nobody ever hears from again, or, like, they get way less recognition than they should because there's just too much shit to sift through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think staunching that, you know, flow of stuff is probably the right way to go at this point.
I mean, that's what they tried to do with Greenlight, and I mean...
Sure, but then, like, Greenlight was still, like, I appreciate, like, it was good to have, better to have Greenlight than to have nothing.
Yes, it was.
For sure, but at some point that was still just, like, you know, a popularity contest.
Yes.
Right.
And it was still
people
subject to,
the
like, the regular bullshit of the internet, where if you, you know, if you cross the wrong person on Twitter or whatever, they'd be like, oh, go fuck their page up and downvote their shit until they're dead. so that had its
Accurate.
Own problems. But, like, I like the fact that in changing it, they're changing it to, like, a direct developer relationship. And, like I said, the thing that I think has also come around is that there are other places now. Like, itch.io is the really big one. Like, itch.io is basically a completely open game publishing platform where you can sign up and you can post as many games as you want. And I think that it's... Like, they charge you basically, like, a base rate of 10% of all revenue. But you can also, you can put up games for free there, but if you want to sell it for something, they charge you a base rate of 10% of revenue. But I think you can even reduce that. Like, I think they let you choose even if you want to give them nothing or if you want to give them more of a cut.
Because I know their main thing for a lot of stuff is pay what you want, like a Humble Bundle type
thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, that's another example of, you know, like Humble Bundles and stuff,
yeah,
or like Good Old Games, or like there's even other services that I can't think of off the top of my head, but
those are the ones that immediately come to mind.
Yeah, the fact that there are more places to put literally anything, right, like, I feel like that'll balance out enough to where, you know, even if a bunch of stuff doesn't appear on Steam, the hope would be that, you know, that makes each game on Steam a little more visible,
mm-hmm,
and that makes these other games a little more visible on the other places you're likely to put them. So, you know, how any of that'll work out in practice, I guess we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think it's obvious to anyone who's been watching that, like, there are just too many games on Steam. Yeah. There are too many anime porno games. There are too many mobile games that people are putting on PC just because they can. Like,
there's too just many too survival, much stuff. Open world, multiplayer nonsense that is just everywhere all the time forever.
Oh, sure. And then there are even, like, the other thing is that there are straight up, like, legal and quality control things that are now starting to fail.
Mm.
To where, like, people are starting to compile lists of, like, oh, here's a game that someone put on Steam that is literally just made of assets they ripped out of other games.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're selling it on the store and, like, making some money on it, and just, like, it's gotten that Wild West in terms of, like, what people have been able to get onto the platform.
Fantastic.
Steam is too big for its own good.
Yep.
It's true. So it's going to be probably a weird transition, and I'll be interested to see how it works out in practical terms for us personally, mm-hmm, too. But I think even if it might have some growing pains early on, I think it's probably the right way to go. And I'm still glad that there is, like, they could have also just as easily, like, washed their hands of the entire concept of, you sure, know, letting people onto Steam, period. Just like, all right, we're done. The gates are closed. You know, if you want to get on, send an email to this address, and then, like, maybe we'll talk to you.
Legal will get back to you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm still glad that they're guaranteeing some kind of path, and we'll see how hard, mm-hmm, that path is to climb.
Sure.
You know, when they iron some of that stuff out, but it'll be interesting. Steam's a big deal. A lot of people on that platform.
Yes.
Right. And I think a lot of them are probably going to be shown the door after this.
It'll be weird. But like I said, not all change is bad. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we will find out.
Woo.
And then I think that's all I had for news and stuff. I can pull up new releases, although I don't think there's anything other than
Switch nonsense.
There's Switch nonsense, and Horizon Zero Dawn is coming out next week.
I don't even know what that is.
That is in, like, open world-ish game from Guerrilla Games, who made the Killzone games on PlayStation previously.
Hmm.
And it's about, and this, again, like, this is basically, like, a trailer's worth of information, mm-hmm, but it's about, like, weird, I guess you could call it a post-apocalypse, but it's like a post-technological...
Is it with the robot animals?
Yeah, that's the post-technological... Like, it's basically, like, people are sort of living like Native Americans, except it's, like, white people, and they're hunting dinosaurs.
Oh, it's the dinosaur hunting game.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's, okay. What is
robot
the
dinosaurs, but yeah, yes, you're
it,
right. Yeah, it's like mechanical animals. Yeah.
Mechanical.
But yeah, but they're hunting them like they would, you know, the buffalo or whatever. Like, that's the thing in that game.
Use every part of me.
That's what it says. Like, and when the system shuts down, just hit Control Alt Delete, and then click the button. And says,
"I have to read some reviews on that. That did look, yeah, like a fun game.
It looked like a cool last year. Like, I was glad to see them making something new instead of just another first-person shooter that I wasn't interested in. And the buzz around it sounds like it's really good. Like, it sounds like that's going to be a solid thing."
All right.
It looked pretty solid from, like, the trailers, but, I mean, those can be very misleading.
Yeah, we'll see. But that'll be out on Tuesday, and then, like you said, Lorraine, everything else is Switch, like, next week. Next Friday. Next Friday is all Switch. So I'm sure we'll have thoughts on that we'll be back with. I've been toying with the idea of maybe streaming something at some point on Friday afternoon, just for funsies.
That Friday?
Yeah.
We can do that.
So we'll see what that happens. I told Lorraine I'd screwed up my launch plans for the Switch, because we could go to Best Buy and pick up the consoles at midnight, but all the games I ordered, like, basically Zelda and, like, the one or two other things I picked up, are being shipped, so they won't show up until Friday afternoon. So I guess we could be, like, that guy who stole one and just, you know, fondle it and click the button, click refresh, and see if the virtual console's up yet.
Sandwich.
You can download. I can download I Am Setsuna if I decide to pick that up, because that doesn't have a physical release as far as I could tell. Okay. Like, I searched on Best Buy and Amazon, and they didn't show that it had a boxed.
Right. What,
like,
is that?
Yeah,
it wasn't physically released for
anything, right?
PlayStation up till that point, right? It was exclusively a digital download.
Yeah. On Amazon, the only hits I found were, like, you could order a boxed copy in Japan that was just a code.
Okay,
like, it was a code in a box. Okay.
Box code.
Nice.
Box code.
So there's that.
Did you pre-order Bomberman, or were you planning to get Bomberman?
I did. The games that we're going to end up having on Friday are Zelda, Bomberman, and 1-2 Switch.
All right. I'm glad you bit the bullet on.
I know, exactly. I was like, somebody has to get it.
Well,
like,
there was also a really good Best Buy deal when you were picking
those up. Yeah, I had bundled all that stuff up with that $25 off. Yeah. So I didn't pay retail price for any of that stuff, which was good.
Suckers.
But even the $35 or whatever I probably ultimately ended up paying for 1-2 Switch is a little more than I would like to spend. But what are you going to do?
You had the Master Box pre-order for Zelda, right?
Yes, I still have that, unless they cancel it. Yeah.
You might want to check. But those are expensive.
I've heard.
You could sell that and buy yourself a couple of years worth of Switch games.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I've checked the prices of, like, every 2 weeks just to kind of see where, like, the
on some
eBay
level, you don't
want to
get into eBay just because, you know, you're a little bit rolling the dice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I'm definitely going to consider it. Like, I will not immediately open that box.
Yeah.
I'll sit there and contemplate it for a minute or two.
But it's so cool.
It's a cool box.
Mm-hmm. We'll find out. Although, if we want all the views, I guess we can open it on the internet.
Yeah.
Live.
We'll do an unboxing.
People like watching people open stuff.
I don't understand that.
Neither do I.
Okay.
It's really bizarre. I don't think I've ever actually watched an unboxing in my entire life.
I mean, I almost certainly have.
Right.
And then I fell down a hole where I was watching people just, like, open packs of Pokemon cards, like, one pack at a time on YouTube. She's like, all right, we're to the Target, got six boosters, let's do this.
That's
she just sat down,
depressing.
Went through each card one at a time. She's like, oh, fuck, Dugtrio, shit.
Right.
But I had to know. It's like, are there any Ultrares in there? Like, what do you got, man? Let me see what you pulled.
My similar secret shame is that I've watched a few videos of people rolling on Fire Emblem Heroes.
That owns.
Oh shit! He got a Lin.
Yep.
Marth.
I like it.
Oh, a bunch of 3 stars. What a loser! Spent $100 on garbage.
Brian was being dumb and waiting for health to regen while playing Final Fantasy 15 right before the last boss fight. Even though you don't take your party members into that, idiot.
He didn't know.
He didn't know. I didn't know either.
Okay.
I was just really mad at him because I wanted him to keep going because I knew we were going to record this.
You couldn't just pop an elixir? Come on.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
He lost it.
He started playing Fire Emblem and he asked if we kept playing. And I'm like, no. Because, like, I beat the story and most of the way through, like, hard and a little bit into Lunatic. And I've just been getting terrible drops. Like, it's, like, all 3 stars and it's just, like, I don't want to play.
Reroll.
Yeah, after like 6 or 7 total pulls, I think, I only got 1 5-star.
I've my last two.
That's probably about right.
Yeah, my last 2 or 3 have had only 3 stars.
Yeah, no, like, that is Jesus. Exactly what I maybe got a 4-star of some like garbage character, and I'm like, I don't need you in my life.
I haven't been pulling. Saving them.
Hoarding the orbs.
Yeah. So I can be disappointed later.
Say when as soon as they like cycle, is there some character you're waiting for like the pool to include? They're like, oh yeah.
Not specifically, but I don't like any of the ones they have up now.
I just want a Roy, and I just can't
Roy
get a Roy.
Sucks.
I like Roy though.
He's my boy.
Mm-hmm. I did see a thing of somebody who spent $1,000 on that game and didn't get the guy they wanted. So money can't buy happiness, apparently.
Idiot.
Yeah, that's about right. Although I would watch that video. I would watch someone pull $1,000 worth of pulls.
Depressing.
You know?
Maybe this time.
All 3-star grays. That's all it is.
Let me check my bank account.
That's right.
Aww, sad time.
Said like he live streams going to the payday place to get his payday loan advancement.
Oh, man.
Periscope, like, and then...
Yep.
I laugh, but on some level, I'm well aware of how much of a
exactly. We shouldn't joke because I guarantee you there are people who have done that for mobile games before, and that's not even really remotely funny.
But, no, it's real bad.
It plays right into that gambling center of your brain.
Oh yeah,
like that.
It should probably be illegal.
Yeah, it's not great.
Probably
because it feels so good.
It does.
You open up new guys, it's like, oh, look at these dudes. And they're all bad. But each new box is like, oh, this next one's going to be it. This is the one I want. Yep.
Well, you see, that's what happens. I go to it, and then none of them are red, and I don't have any good red characters.
Sure. I mean, well, it is that. Like, it's made to be that way.
I
know. One more pull of the slot machine. Just, like, yank that lever.
It's, like, one or two, like, green or blue, and then it's just all gray guys, and I want to die.
See, I've had the opposite problem. I've gotten only red. I really need green and blue.
That's funny.
I mean, I've got my... So, like, my... 4-star and 5-star Camilla. And then I've got a few other people who are like all 4-stars, but
I finally almost got enough feathers to like advance a dude.
20,000 is so much. Like
it's
what,
way too much.
What the fuck?
What a game. Still okay. Like for
$1,000 on random summons, you can exchange them for about as many orbs as it takes to evolve one person.
Sure.
you take that part, like the addictive part, out of that game. I still do appreciate that they made something approximating Fire Emblem on a phone.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not bad.
Like it plays fine. Like I don't have a problem with that. It's just
white size Fire Emblem.
Yeah,
I was way down on it earlier on, but when it finally did get harder, like I got to enjoy that version of Fire Emblem. Like it wasn't just like early on; it was just so easy. I was just like not even thinking and just smushing dudes against each other. But like,
it gets tough.
Yeah, exactly. You get later on, and it got hard enough that I was like, "Oh, there is actually strategy here." Like, I'm totally okay with what you guys have put together for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like that part I still like about it, but yeah, it is one of those.
Kind of hypocritically against the thing I just said, I'm glad it's making them some money because they'll be able to put that into furthering their own projects.
Anything, like, yeah.
Animal at the same time, Crossing. They announced the new Fire Emblem for this year, and
they've got a new Fire Emblem coming out this year, presumably another one next year, unless that game gets pushed.
The Switch game,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited for both those.
Fire Emblem Warriors.
Nope, we're not talking about it, Lorraine.
That's not a thing.
Don't even hush. Shh. And with that, I think we're gonna call it a show. Kyle, thanks for hanging out. Yay. It was fun to chat. Talk about video games.
Chat.
Talk about Final Fantasy 15.
I think the name of this episode is just going to be "We Spoil Final Fantasy 15."
That is perfect. I like that. Now you're thinking.
I'll find some real dumb pictures. Maybe it's just Ignis discovering a recipe, or just cup noodle, or something.
Sure.
I don't know why I'm throwing in another 15 thought at the end.
Do it.
I was really glad that they had like consequences for the story and the world, like. Really messed up stuff happens, and they have to deal with it. Like the one guy goes blind.
I think Ignis is probably my favorite character of them.
No, he's blind.
Exactly. That would be
by the arm through the next dungeon because he can't see.
Yeah, that would be. You're totally right. Yeah, that would be a thing that in another Final Fantasy game they would have undone within 15 minutes, and then that would have been
really
the end of it.
Maimed a character before.
Right. Jeez.
They've killed him.
Sure.
It's easier to kill somebody.
Oh, yeah. You feel less bad
because
you're not living with the consequences. It's like, oh, they're dead. I miss them. As opposed to, his life is forever altered.
Right. The hour and a half after he went blind was such a downer.
Yeah. Seriously.
Dude, this is real.
Ignis.
I'm bummed out because Ignis is blind.
I know.
I'll never get to see his cup noodle again before he eats it.
How can he discover
a
recipe?
He just wanted to discover recipes, and he went blind.
He had so much going for him.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's going to do it. I like it, though. Said it's good time. So thanks again, Kyle, for hanging out.
Woo.
Thank you, Lorraine,
Hopefully
for chilling.
See you sometime soon.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Hang out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still playing Valkyria Chronicles online on Thursdays.
Yeah,
I bet we'll do something... Come hang out at twitch.tv/cuberhorngames on Friday afternoon.
The 3rd. March 3rd.
March 3rd. Yeah. Thank you.
Stop saying Friday.
Sorry.
We're not doing
it. I'm already anticipating. You're right. There's nothing going on at the end of February. But March 3rd, we'll play at least one Switch game. It might be Zelda. Maybe it'll be one to Switch. But, I mean, we'll probably play that at some point. But
that would be hard to stream.
It is.
I mean, I guess you could set that up.
Yeah. I mean, we could. If we were able to move the couch and then had the green screen be
we can have it behind. Like I've seen bigger. That. Yeah, like the Giant Bomb video did that. Like, we'll see what we can do.
Really want to get some views. Yeah, you just switch all the game or stream all the Switch games nobody's playing, like Bomberman and 1-2 Switch. Yeah. Everybody's going to be streaming Zelda.
Sure, exactly. Yep. I like it. We'll call it a plan.
Haha.
All right. Well, we'll see you then.
I've discovered a new plan.
Thanks again, Kyle. thank you for listening. Thank you, Internet. We'll see you later on. So catch you later, folks.
Bye.
Switch.